This is not a pansy liberal show. It's Bart Cop Radio.
Bart, what's up, bro? It's L.A. Rick. How you doing, man? Hey, I went to the war protest in Hollywood here today. It was a great event. I'd say there was probably about 15,000 people marching. You know, it's pretty hard to get 15,000 people to do anything in L.A. Hell, we couldn't even keep an NFL team. Well, during the rally afterwards, this elderly couple came up to me, and the lady asked if she could take a picture of her husband and me. He liked the shirt I was wearing, which had a big peace sign on it and said no war on the back, and he also liked the sign I was carrying. Well, I said sure, and I started talking to the man, and I found out that he was a veteran of Iwo Jima in World War II. He told me that they lost 6,000 men over there in a two-week period. Can you imagine that? Well, I was proud that a guy like this would come out on a day like that. He knows what's going on is wrong. Just
damn, that was my little recorder running out of hard drive space. But yeah, Rick, hey, great call, and what an honor to have a veteran of Iwo Jima come up and say, can I have my picture taken with you? I think I'd get a little verklempt if that was me. But hey, good call, dude. See you at the next Poker Fest.
Okie dokie. Al Franken is here. Now, the name of the show again, the old Franken Factor, is there something we need to know about that?
No, it's just to really annoy O'Reilly, whom I've invited to come on the Factor.
That's a great idea.
But evidently he's too afraid to come into the zero spin zone.
What is the nature of your the coexistence, if in fact that's a word, in the realm of politics, you and Bill O'Reilly?
He's a big liar.
Mm-hmm.
I tell the truth.
I see. What kind of things is he not truthful about?
He said this in the New York Observer. No one grew up lower on the economic ladder than I did.
Uh-huh.
And he grew up in Westbury, Long Island, and he went to private school and went to private college. And it's like, this would surprise a lot of kids up in the Bronx.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, it's I'm this hard working class guy, and I'm a popular. And he lies about tax. He lies about just about every uh-huh. pretty much everything.
Now, do you, when you say things about him like this, do you hear from him?
He keeps, he keeps calling me. He won't call me O'Franken, mm-hmm. so I'm just going to call him Riley. One thing I learned about radio is they pay you a premium if you will do the commercials yourselves. The host will. And I don't know how I feel about that because I just feel uncomfortable with the herbal supplements and stuff like that. So I'm going to do the commercials, but I'm going to do them as Rush. So I'm going to do like, hello, friends. I spent so much money on drugs. And not just the drugs themselves, but on bribing my maid friend. That I am always looking for a bargain.
This is Bob Baudelaire, angry American patriot. Well, now the socialist democrats have done it, my brain is falling like a locomotive with steam coming out like ideas. Aided by liberal media, they have come out and said that we Republican team leaders are getting sweatshirts made from sweatshops overseas. And not just any sweatshops, but ones from Burma, where it is illegal to get sweatshops from sweatshops in this country. Imagine. First of all, you go to a fish store for fish. Where else are you going to get sweatshirts if you do not get them from sweatshops? Second of all, after all the trouble I had getting a hat, and I still do not have a hat, I finally got my sweatshirt not too long ago, which I am wearing probably every day to show my support for our great president, the sweat and smell. And I can tell you, like Charlotte and Heston with his gun, you can take my sweatshirt from my cold, dead hands. Except that I do not have Alzheimer's disease, which I think should be renamed for our greatest ever president, Ronald Reagan, or for the NRA president, Charlton Heston, to show what conservative thought really means. And it ruined such a good week for our president, too, as America celebrated the anniversary of our great president's war in Iraq, which is not a terrible disaster and made everybody in the world safer, if you don't count all the bombings and killings, and I certainly do not count. Which the people in Spain should not have counted when they voted out George W.'s good friend, President Anzar, just because trains blew up and he blamed the wrong people. Shows why Florida was right to not count votes, which you cannot prove Jim had anything to do with. and why elections should be canceled. Now, the new president of Spain says he will take all his troops out of Iraq, which does not mean that the coalition is crumbling. South Korea will not send its troops where our great president wants, which does not mean that the coalition is crumbling. And the Polish president says he was taken for a ride and deceived, which does not mean that the coalition is crumbling. We are still having a glorious cakewalk in Iraq. You cut me off, you liberal. We are still having a glorious cakewalk in Iraq, and it was the Navy's fault that our great president dressed in a pilot costume and stood in front of a finest admission accomplished. The coalition is as strong and powerful as ever, even if we still cannot name the countries who are in it for reasons that ought to be obvious even to someone like you. But it is disgraceful to see Spain pull out of the coalition and all a cakewalk in Iraq just to appease Al-Qaeda by going after them because they bombed the train instead of pretending it was the basket separatists like President Anzar would have. I am calling on all of the loyal readers within the sound of the voice of whoever's reading this aloud to join me in trying to change the name of Taco Bell to Freedom Bell in protest, like we did with French toast, which sure showed them. Speaking of who cannot be named, it is a horrible that John F. Kerry will not tell us the names of the foreign leaders who want him to be president so we can hate them for that reason. Instead, we will just have to hate foreigners without a reason as usual. Now, our great President Bush does not have this problem, as just this week a foreign leader announced that he was supporting him. Unfortunately, it was Al-Qaeda, but still. Al-Qaeda rightly said that John Kerry and the Democrats would embarrass blasphemy and present it as civilization, just like Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and other great Republicans have said, which you cannot see is true for yourself, where there's support for gay old Americans and abortions and evolution in public schools without prayers and the like. When I told Mrs. Brennan Rosenfeld that I wanted to put a new sign in my trailer, she shook her head. But when I told her what I wanted it to say, you cut me off again, you damn liberal! And when I told Mrs. Brown Roosevelt that I wanted to put a new sign on my trailer, she shook her head. But when I told her what I wanted to say, she went out and got another old sheet and even gave me the money to go buy paint. That is how badly John F. Kerry has alienated even hardcore fanatical moderates like her. Amen.
Bob Lang is a Republican team leader who did not just make up the names of people on his team to get free merchandise. You could email him at bobbudelang@yahoo.com, but many of the people on his team have wrongly changed their email address, which is why you cannot reach them, and the sweatshirt still smells like fish now, anyhow.
As you know, I take no delight in the decline of David Letterman. It's sad to see someone once so brilliant get so lazy. Maybe he's just burned out. I shouldn't be that judgmental. Maybe he's just been at it too long. Maybe comedy, like everything else, you just, you know, a couple decades go by and you just can't do one more joke. But Dave has fallen into the abyss of talentless comedy. A night or two ago, he had on Dennis Kucinich to read a top 10 about Dennis Kucinich. And it was terrible. It was just awful. You know, I don't like to say stuff like this, but my top tens sometimes are funnier than Dave's, and he's got 20 writers. It's just awful that I should be allowed to say that. I'm sure many of you disagree, but I'm sorry, some of his top tens can really, really blow. And he had old poor Dennis Kucinich out there, who I really like. I play this not to humiliate Dennis Kucinich, but really, he's like a poker player with two chips left. You know, he's got to go for the all out. He's got to go for the Hail Mary. He's got to throw the bomb and hope against all odds that something hits. That's how it is in a lot of sports. That's how it is in politics. Dennis Kucinich is in his final 11th hour, and he's got to do something, so he agrees to go on Dave. And they wrote him that just the most god-awful. It was top 10 ways Dennis Kucinich could still be president. And one of them was, oh, if I turn into a giant horse's ass, I'll seem more presidential than I am now. Kucinich was not in a extra graceful situation. But if Dave had better writers, if Dave still had some of the old talent, this would have come off okay, but it just didn't work. Of the 10 things they got Kucinich to say, I thought only one was half funny. And I'm going to let you hear it now, but it's sad that a man with Dennis Kucinich's ideas can't get any traction in a country where his ideas need traction. And slightly less sad is Dave's decline from once comedy icon slash god to phoning it in, collect a check, do another Clinton blowjob joke, go back home. Poor Dave.
Number four. Just wait till I unleash my new campaign slogan, Crucizzle in the Hizzle.
This next little piece is a bit from the Bill Maher show on HBO. It's a little rowdy, so hang on, but it's probably the biggest laugh I've ever seen Bill Maher get. After the laugh is over, everybody takes a breath and starts a second laugh, and he's not doing anything. They're just trying to get past, they're just trying to get enough oxygen to go on with the evening. So check this out.
New rule. Computers aren't for voting, they're for picking up underage girls. Voting by computer sounds really cool and futuristic if this were 1969, but now that we all have computers, we know that they are in fact huge fuck-up machines. They're like having a compact silicon version of Gary Busey on your desk. You never know what's going to happen. Well, I'll tell you what'll happen. Some 13-year-old hacker in Finland is going to hand the presidency to Kylie Minogue. You thought the 2000 election was bad. Wait until the next one is decided by a customer service rep in New Delhi. And finally, new rule. You can't be a Washington outsider if you're already president. Now, hearing President Bush these days constantly complain about the politicians and John Kerry being part of a Washington mindset and saying things like, I got news for the Washington crowd. It's like hearing Courtney Love bitch about the junkies. Excuse me, but Washington Insider is by definition a function of one's proximity to the president. That's you, Mr. Bush. When you're given check-writing privileges by the Federal Reserve, you just might be a Washington Insider. Put it this way, you're not Mr. Smith goes to Washington. You're the Washington part. We need a Mr. Smith to fuck with you. You're not on a mission you reluctantly accepted like the old farts in Space Cowboys. You campaign for it, so it's a little late to be selling yourself as some fish-out-of-water cowboy visiting the big city on assignment. You're not McLeod. For 15 of the last 22 years, you've had a key to the White House. The last thing that happened in Washington without the Bushes getting a piece was Marion Barry's crack habit. The Exorcist happened in Georgetown, but Satan had to run it by Jim Baker first. So knock off the regular guy act. And by the way, that also goes for John Forbes Kerry, the other white meat. Two skull and bones preppies these guys are from Nantucket and Kennebunkport, who use the word summer as a verb. Please, John Kerry, stop rolling up your sleeves like you're about to man a register at Costco. You're a Boston Brahmin who married not one but two eccentric heiresses. You're not Joe Sixpack, you're Klaus von Bülow. I mean, please, I think your current wife is great, but hello, she inherited the Heinz fortune. She's the ketchup lady. Which explains why sometimes he's got to smack her on the bottom to get her to come. Anyway.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at bartcop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, there you have it. Show 32 is in the can, and I hope you liked it. I appreciate you being a subscriber, and if you're hearing this and you're not a subscriber, shame, shame. But thanks to all the subscribers, you give me the freedom to not be a car lot boy. I get to sit at home and do my page. I think the page is better now than it was when it was part-time. Not only that, we got the radio. Not only that, I get to watch a little TV. I get to watch the hearings. I got to record the hearings. We got the sound bites from the hearings that I hope you enjoyed. But nothing's more fun. Wait, few things are more fun than making a Republican eat it, using his own words. So, that was show 32. See you in a few days with show 33. Thanks for being there.